Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, as recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The other day I read about an interesting incident that I thought you would enjoy hearing. Quite some years ago, a new play opened in Russia, in one of Moscow's leading theaters. It was a blasphemous comedy entitled Christ in Tuxedo. A packed house saw the first act, which featured a church altar arrayed like a bar with bottles of beer, wine, and vodka. Those in charge of the church were playing cards, and some acted as if they were drunk. The second act featured Comrade Alexander Rostovzev, a Moscow matinee idol. He was a dyed-in-the-wool disciple of Marx, and a sneering enemy of Christ. The audience roared when he walked out on the stage impersonating Jesus. He was dressed in a flowing oriental robe and carried a large New Testament. His part in the play was to read two verses from the Sermon on the Mount, remove his gown, and cry out, "Give me instead my tuxedo and top hat." Rostovzev began to read very slowly until he came to the words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." However, instead of following the script and putting on the tuxedo, he suddenly stopped as if paralyzed. An uneasy silence gripped the spectators. Then, his body shaking, the actor finished all the remaining verses of the fifth chapter of Matthew. Behind the scenes, other members of the cast coughed and tried to give him his cue, urging the star of Moscow's stage to go on with his forgotten blasphemy. But Rostovzev had been touched by the Holy Spirit. Christ's words had conquered him. For there, before the footlights, he who had reviled the crucified now cried out in the prayer of the penitent thief, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That was too much for the management. The curtain lowered, the performance was canceled, and someone announced that Comrade Rostovzev had suddenly taken ill. The Holy Scriptures had once again made one wise unto salvation. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is what your Bible says. radio friend, I speak on behalf of all the Christians at Shannon Hills Chapel when I say welcome to the broadcast this morning. If this is your first time listening to Your Bible Says, which is brought to you by Shannon Hills Chapel, we trust it will not be the last time. You'll find us here every Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. And we extend to you this invitation to meet with us at Shannon Hills Chapel, which is located at 900 West Vandalia Road at Rehoboth Church Road, just east of I-85 at exit 123. We begin our activities each Sunday with the Lord's Supper at 9:30, followed by the Family Bible Hour at 11 o'clock. As we say each Sunday, we have something for every member of the family at this 11 o'clock service, beginning with the babies and toddlers, and we have well-staffed nurseries for them, and Sunday school classes for all ages, including high school and college level. And rest assured that these classes are taught by dedicated Christians who have a deep concern for the spiritual well-being of every member of the family. And at the 11 o'clock service, we have preaching for the adults. And this morning, at the 11 o'clock hour, Brother H.G. McKay will be bringing the message. The chapel teens meet each Sunday evening at 6 p.m., followed by the Sunday night service at 7:30. Now, once again, we remind you that we do have nurseries for the babies and toddlers at all of our services at Shannon Hills Chapel. And at this Sunday night 7:30 service, we have a meeting, too, for the children up through 10 years old. And at the 7:30 service tonight, in the will of the Lord, I will be speaking on the young man who went away with an empty heart, or one thing lacking. On Wednesday night, we meet for a time of collective prayer followed by the study of the Word of God. This midweek service on Wednesday night is at 7:30 also. So we extend to you this invitation to meet with us at Shannon Hills Chapel, where a warm welcome awaits you. I am reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, he says in chapter 3, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? The Apostle Paul and the other apostles, as did the early Christians, went about preaching the grace of God. We read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we read, too, in the book of Titus that the grace of God that brings salvation to all men hath appeared. And so these early believers went about preaching Jesus Christ. They went about preaching the grace of God. Here in the book of Galatians, we find Paul writing a tense and indignant letter to these believers at Galatia, because the believers there had fallen into this doctrinal error of the most serious kind. There were false brethren who had come into these believers after Paul left, and they sought to undo what the Apostle Paul had preached. We see in chapter 2 and verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And so the Apostle Paul, as did the others, went about preaching the grace of God and the salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ that the grace of God brings. And behind these believers came these false brethren seeking to undo what had been taught and preached. These false believers were seeking to put these believers back into bondage. The trouble in Galatia was legalism. Some were falling for it. The Apostle Paul was shocked. We see in chapter 1 and verse 6, where he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said in verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Very strong language indeed. But Paul points out the fact that because they were leaving the grace of God and falling for this false teaching of legalism, they were frustrating, that is, they were setting aside the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. To attempt to earn by merit what God gives in mercy is to frustrate the grace of God. There are many people in the world who are seeking to accomplish salvation, to accomplish and obtain acceptance in the presence of God, by their good works, by keeping the law. The Apostle Paul says, in so doing, they are frustrating the grace of God. The law cannot save you. The law can only condemn you. I want us to think briefly of two mountains. We want to think of Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and we want to think of Mount Calvary, where the grace of God was fully manifested. Why was the law given at Mount Sinai? We see in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19 that the law was added because of or for the sake of transgressions. Listen to this verse. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And so the law was added because of, or for the sake of, transgressions. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law." Sinning men need the law to reveal to them that they are sinners and condemned because of law-breaking. People think they're all right. But when we come to the Word of God, and when we read of God's perfect standard, we know that we are not all right. Some time back, there were some states who did not, which did not have speed limits, as all do now. There were some states that simply had certain highways marked, drive at a reasonable rate of speed. Now, I would suppose that a policeman back then would have had difficulty making a case against someone who drove, let's say, 75 or 80 miles an hour, since there was no objective standard broken. The police officer might think that one speed is unreasonable, but without a standard, it would be mere opinion on his part, although I have a pretty good idea who would win out. But if there is no speed limit posted, then there's no objective standard broken. Many things men do that are unreasonable and sinful, and yet how would we know that apart from the Word of God? When we come to the Word of God and we read of the law that was given, the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, we read of God's perfect standard, and that law cannot give us life. That law can only condemn us. But how can I be redeemed from the curse of the law? If God's perfect law does not give me life, if God's perfect law cannot save me and only condemn me, how can I be redeemed from the curse of the law? Well, we see in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." When we come to Mount Calvary, we find the love of God manifested. Back at Mount Sinai, God's justice condemns us, but at Mount Calvary, God's love redeems us. At this mountain, Mount Calvary, God's grace is manifested. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 17, we read these words, "For the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by or subsist through Jesus Christ." When we think of the grace of God being manifested, we think of God's mercy pitying, God's wisdom planning, God's power preparing, and God's love providing. When we go back to Mount Sinai and the law, we find in the law there, the expression of divine righteousness. When we come to Mount Calvary and think of the grace of God, it is the expression of divine love. At Mount Sinai, the law lays down a set of rules and says, "Do this." When we come to Mount Calvary and think of the grace of God, we find the grace of God coming to help sinners, and grace says, "Take this." At Mount Sinai, we see the law prohibiting and requiring. At Mount Calvary, we see the grace of God beseeching and bestowing. At Mount Sinai, the law says, "Do and live." At Mount Calvary, the grace of God says, "Believe and live." At Mount Sinai, the law shows men their sins. At Mount Calvary, the grace of God shows a remedy for sin. At Mount Sinai, the law says, "Pay the debt." At Mount Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ died, the grace of God says, "Christ has paid it for you." At Mount Sinai, the law reveals to men their condemnation. At Mount Calvary, the grace of God reveals redemption. At Mount Sinai, the law curses. At Mount Calvary, the grace of God redeems from the curse. At Mount Sinai, the law puts a great and guilty distance between God and man. At Mount Calvary, the grace of God brings guilty man into his presence. At Mount Sinai, the law says, give that man what he deserves. At Mount Calvary, the grace of God says, have mercy on him. At Mount Sinai, the law puts to death. At Mount Calvary, the grace of God makes alive. At Mount Sinai, the law utterly condemns the best man. At Mount Calvary, the grace of God freely justifies the worst man. At Mount Sinai, the law shuts every mouth before God. At Mount Calvary, the grace of God opens the mouth to praise him. At Mount Sinai, the law says the wages of sin is death. But at Mount Calvary, the grace of God says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The law was given to show man his need of grace. And to attempt to gain salvation by any other means than to come God's way is to frustrate the grace of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I quote once again from Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. A man wanting to cross the Atlantic would be fit for a lunatic asylum if instead of taking passage on an ocean liner, he insisted upon trying to beat the ship by swimming the 3,000 miles or more between England and New York. Yet his insanity would be wisdom alongside the folly of the sinner who rejects the finished work of Christ and trusts some other way to get him to heaven. Someone has written, marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge the mighty cross. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive?
The cross, how could it be?
Once again, friends, it's been a real joy being with you, and we trust the broadcast will certainly be a blessing in your life today. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we are praying for you. And we are praying that before this day is over, you will come to the end of yourself and confess to God that you are a needy sinner. And we trust that you will receive God's unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that God gives in grace on the basis of the finished work of Christ. And remember, too, the services today at Shannon Hills Chapel. At the 11 o'clock service, Brother H.G. McKay will be bringing the message. And at the 7:30 service tonight, in the will of the Lord, I'll be speaking on the young man who went away with an empty heart, or one thing lacking. And we look forward, too, to having you back in our radio audience next Sunday morning. And until then, this is J. Eddie Schwartz saying, may God's richest blessings be your portion. For the past 30 minutes, you've been listening to Your Bible Says with J. Eddie Schwartz, sponsored by the Shannon Hills Chapel in Greensboro.